Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Sees.
And I'm Brian Williams.
And today we're going to talk about
where we are and where we are going.
Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Sees.
And I'm Brian Williams.
Brian, today when I was praying, one of the things that kind of came to my mind and has been on my mind for a while is the difference between what I feel God speaks to me and where the vision and the church is going and where it currently is. And so, for instance, you know, the past couple weeks, what I've been doing, I really felt like God wanted the church to move in a specific direction in terms of ownership of a building. And, you know, I kind of hold on to the passage of scripture where it says, ask, seek, knock, you know. And so I've been going out and looking at every building I can find that's for sale. I've even called some individuals that don't have the building for sale, but I like the way the building looks, and it looks like a nice layout. In fact, one of the buildings we're looking at, we found this out doing outreach. We went out and we found somebody that used to attend the Apostolic Church that was in Turlock before it went wacky in 92. And in the conversation with that individual, one of the guys in the church asked them, so you went, you started going when they were in the back building. He goes, no, before they got to the back building. And so they asked, well, where was that building at? And so he dropped a pin on the person's phone where it was at. We went down, looked at it, found out the car dealership right next door had bought it 10 months ago. And so I called the car dealership up, and I asked him, like, hey, are you interested in selling this? He said, no, I've had like 20 people call me. I said, well, what if it was a really good offer? And he goes, I've had like 10 really good offers. I'm not interested in putting this building on the market because I know all someone's going to do is buy it and then rent it out to somebody, and then I can't control who's right next to my dealership. I said, well, if that's your main aversion, that's cool, because, you know, I'm looking to buy and occupy and have church there. And so he warmed up a little bit, and he gave me a price that's probably right on the outskirts of what we can afford. But I'm still trying to talk him down. So I know God wants us to get a building, but then I look and, you know, you have maybe the very next Sunday after you feel that you have a down service and you're used to seeing 75 or 80 people there.
Yeah.
And, you know, right after you feel you're supposed to go get a building, 60 show up and you're like, my God, we're going the wrong direction. I'm thinking we're supposed to buy a building here. And so I guess one of the things that I want to talk about today is how do you personally deal with that in between, the tension between, okay, what I see the church going towards versus where it is currently. And so how do you kind of handle that?
Well, for me, it's a good question, but this is just where I'm at because we are in totally different spaces as to where our churches are at.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I have tried to learn to do is to do the best I can to separate myself from the things I can't control and some of the outcomes that I would like to see happen. Okay, so I know I can control how many people that I engage with every week to try to get them to come to church. I know I can control, you know, the when I'm praying and trying to seek God for a message, I can, you know, those are things that the amount of effort that I put into that, I'm going to get a result from that. The kind of songs that we sing, there's a lot of these things that I can do to try to move the ball forward. But God still has to give the increase to that.
Yeah.
And so if I get wrapped up mentally into that part that I can't control, I'm going to live a very anxious life because you'll go to bed worrying about who's going to show up tomorrow and are they going to come back next week and was the sermon good enough and did it do this and did it do that. And I try to almost become indifferent to that outcome because I the promise is if you water and sow, God gives the increase. And so I cannot get too wrapped up into whether or not I'm not doing my job because not as many people showed up this week than did last week.
Yeah.
Because there is, and this past Sunday was one of those Sundays. I put a lot of seed in the ground last week, but I didn't see as much result from that. And so I'm looking at this. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. There's a lot of things that we have to look to do. But separating myself from those outcomes, and my job is to sow seed, and and my job is not to, and I can reap a harvest, but God's in charge of the growing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think sometimes people, I kind of preach on this a little bit Sunday morning, actually. When you talk about sowing and reaping, or when you talk about revival, let's look at this. So when you talk about revival, most people categorize revival in the reaping season. And so they say, hey, we're having revival. We've got people coming through, but most people don't categorize sowing in part of the revival, right? So you could be out there sowing seed, and you don't see the reaping right away, and people start to get a little anxious, or they wonder if it's working. And luckily for me, I've got a guy in the church that actually, he works for a large company that does a lot of planting. They have wheat on the grounds. They have almonds and other things on the ground. And and so when you talk to him, it's as a farmer, he'll tell you, hey, look, we don't go out there and cast seed and expect to reap the harvest the next day. Instead, it's hey, there's this point at which we're casting seed, and when we cast enough and it's the right time, we know harvest is going to come. It reminds me kind of like, I think when I first started working at the university here, and I was over enrollment, and you were over the marketing side of things. And kind of the dance that we were trying to do in the university was understanding that it's not just about the amount of people that enroll today. It's also about having a pipeline, because first contact to conversion to a student is 6 months. And so if I've got 200 students enrolling right now, but I have nobody in my pipeline, well, I'm in trouble for the next 6 months, and I've got something to, a wave I've got to ride. And so I think that's kind of how we look at soul winning sometimes, or revival. We say, well, I'm not seeing anything right now. I'm not reaping anything. And one of the things I told the congregation, if you're in a time where you don't see reaping, that means you better start sowing. Because both aspects are required for revival. And so I think part of this, I have to remember to tell myself is, hey, there's ebbs and flows and things. There's a season where you plant. There's a season when you reap. But I think one of the things in talking with Bishop Wilson for a long time is one of the things that keeps me focused is having that vision, right? And understanding that it's not my job to bring the vision to port, but it is my job to do things along the way. God will do what God can do, but he's going to expect me to do what I can do. And so he's going to expect me to plan my sermons. He's going to expect me to, if I'm musically inclined, to make sure that I'm setting aside time to practice. He's going to expect me to do those things. But then when the service takes off, he's going to move into it, and he's going to take over it. So I see you jotted something down over there. So
what are we looking at? Process. It's very, you know, you hit on it there, because I personally, I feel like right now there is – I feel like you should always be sowing seeds, okay, because those things may not – I think right now there's a lot of things that are happening in our church right now that started several months ago, and I never saw it then happen, but it's happening now. And I think that there are some things during this time where – I'm not seeing as many new people as I saw during the summer. Crazy. Over the summer, we saw a lot of new people, okay, that come into the church, had never been to church before. The last few weeks, we haven't seen as many. Now, what we've seen is we've seen returning guests that have come in. So now it's about taking these people and trying to connect them to what's going on in our community of faith, and try to get them to understand that they are a part. And that takes time. That takes relationship. That takes, it's a deeper kind of relationship. But I feel like in some ways during this time that we need to focus on improving aspects of our church, because in a way I feel like God will sometimes hold things up because you're not ready for them yet. And there's a lot of things about our church that are great, but I feel like there's a lot of people that are not ready for our church, because we got to get our act together on so many levels, you know? And so I feel like if you think about, just to use a biblical analogy, when the disciples were in the boat and they fished all night and they received nothing. Yeah. You know, they had fished all night, but then when they saw the Lord and he said, cast your net on the other side, they had more fish than they knew what to do with. The fish were always there, but their heart was not in a posture and they were not acting in a way. And so God was like holding the fish up until they could get ready and put themselves in a situation where they could reap that harvest. So, you know, not to over-spiritualize things, but I feel like right now, especially in a time where we're not seeing as many new people come in, I'm hearing you, Lord, tell us, okay, we got to get our act together on so many other things.
Yeah, so it's not about just having the revival. It's about being in a position where you can sustain the revival.
Right, that's good.
And so a lot of things that I look at is, and I've seen this in the first church that I pastored, you'd see waves of revival, then you'd see periods of maybe what I'd say or call maybe consolidation, in which you're getting the people that you just previously got in the church grounded, and you're able to work with them. And the analogy that I've always looked at, or the passage I've always looked at for that, is in Genesis, right? And so before God creates man, he creates an environment in which man can not only live, but man can thrive.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, I think sometimes God is working on the church to get the church in a place at which when more people come into the church, the right environment is there, and the people have what they need in order for them to grow. One of the things that recently has been playing on my mind the past couple weeks is Genesis 16. I think it's Genesis 16. If I'm wrong, I know the story. Maybe it's the wrong verse or chapter. But I'm pretty sure it's Genesis 16. In the passage of Scripture there in Genesis 16, you have Abraham and you have Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the passage where when Abraham and Sarah are there, Sarah says to Abraham, well, here's Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
Take my handmaid. And because she couldn't produce the promise.
Yeah.
And so because she didn't see a way that the promise would take place, she said, I've been barren all my life. I'm 90 years old.
Yeah.
Abraham, you're 100 years old. I don't see any way that this can possibly come to pass.
Yeah.
And so instead of embracing the promise, and instead of saying, hey, I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to allow God to do what only he can do, Sarah says, my husband believes this so much, I've got to find a way to come bring this to pass. And so rather than trusting on God to move in the process, she says, well, here's a way to do it. And she takes hold of what was a pagan practice of giving concubines or handmaids to your husband to produce more. And so rather than trusting in the promises of God, she said, I'm going to find a way to manufacture this. And I think a lot of times you see churches do that, where stuff doesn't happen the way they want it to happen. Revival doesn't come as quickly as they think it's going to come. And so they go to alternative methods that aren't apostolic in nature.
Right.
And what it ends up doing is, instead of reaping the promise you expected, instead of reaping the blessings that Abraham and Sarah expected, they reap strife. they thought they were getting peace. They got turmoil, and now there's strife between Hagar and between Sarah. And so I think sometimes if you're not sure in the promise, and if you're not sure that God is capable of bringing that promise to pass, because we're used to being doers, we try to rush it, we try to push it, we try to move quicker than God's moving. And we reach a whole bunch of turmoil. That's what we end up bringing into ourselves. And so, you know, I'm always cautious to say, hey, I know where God wants the church to be. I've got a vision for what it's going to look like in Turlock. I know the building we're currently in and the next building we're going to be in isn't big enough. And I know that's something that every church planner says.
Right.
But if you don't hold on to that vision and say, hey, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do and I'm going to let God do what He's supposed, what God's going to do, I think that's where all the letting down of standards, that's where the charismatic stuff starts coming in, because you're like, it's not happening on my time, so God, I'm going to try and do it.
Yeah.
And so I think you got to try and hold some of those things in tension where one, you're relying on God, but two, you're doing exactly what He's supposed to do.
Right. And I think there's other ways to define fruitfulness. So far, we're talking about fruitfulness in terms of like people coming to the church and the church growing. And I feel like, you know, you mentioned Genesis, and, you know, recently I kind of was preaching to the church about the first family in Genesis 1, Adam and Eve. And in a way, that was like the first church, okay? And so you've got God as the pastor, and you've got Adam and Eve as the first church, right? And He blessed them, right? In Genesis 1 and 28. And He called them blessed, and there was five things that He told them that were five steps, basically, of their blessing. And the first one was to be fruitful, right?
Yeah.
And the second was to multiply. So multiplication, so what we're talking about is growing the church, okay? But really, before, you got to have a fruitful church. And that doesn't always equate to bigger numbers, but there's other ways to be fruitful. You know, right now, we're trying to make improvements to the way that our worship kind of is delivered, and our music and development of different people in certain settings. We have, you know, some people call it hospitality, but like those first, and some churches call it first impressions, you know, with the people that walk in the door. We're trying to get that kind of figured out. You know, we have this fancy name I'm kind of working on. I haven't really given this yet to the church up there, but like a concierge team.
Okay.
So like the whole, when people walk in, you know, what do they feel, and how can we make them it be a welcoming place?
Well, that's a perfect example of you doing what you can do.
That's right, exactly. And I think that is... We should not shy away from that. I know that those things are talked about in some of these other churches that we don't necessarily agree with, but they're good concepts.
Yeah.
And it's like, just because another church that we don't agree with does something really well does not mean we should throw it out because they're off in this one area, so everything is bad. I should be able to look at some of the things that they're doing really well and say, okay, what if we took and modified this and made this our own? And so this is a whole process that we're trying to work out and getting people to feel welcome, you know, what that looks like and how to get their contact information. There's all these types of things that are happening because I'll be honest with you. I ask myself this question, can I manage this harvest that, can I be entrusted to steward the harvest that I'm given? And sometimes I go back, if I'm not getting as many new visitors or new guests, is God telling me, well, you need to focus on the things that you do have, improving that, right? And when you get that to where you need to be, then I'll send you more people, right? And so, you know, back to this thing about the church, they were, he commanded them to be fruitful.
Yes.
That was it. He said, he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so every church has got to be fruitful. Okay, we've got to produce fruit. We've got to be growing. We've got to be in the process of growing. And multiply. Multiply is different than addition. If I reproduce myself and I just go and I'm the only one that's out knocking on doors or investigating my city and inviting people, that's addition. What I need is multiplication. I need to inspire leaders and people in that to where I'm not the one always that's out doing this, but there's other people that have captured that vision. They've got to hold it and they've multiplied. And then it says replenish. Replenish means to give back to more than you take.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a mentality with that because when you have people that come to church, and they're receiving the ministry of the Lord. Paul says, I've taken the physical things from you. I've given you of my spiritual things, right? And I've received of you of your physical things. And so basically a church cannot be a place where everything is going out one way.
Yeah.
And so people have got to embrace this idea of replenishing. And, you know, there's other aspects of it, subduing. I mean, it's subduing your city and then taking dominion. All those things are part of a growing church. Anyway, I'll kick it back to you. So,
no, as you're talking, it made me think of, I couldn't remember the passage of scripture. I had to look it up, but Exodus 23, 29 through 30, right?
Yeah.
It says, God talking to to the children of Israel, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. Mm-hmm. But little by little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be decrease or increase and inherit the land. And so even when you look at them moving into the promised land, kind of the same thing, right? He tells them, I'm not going to give you total dominion. I'm not going to drive everybody out, because if I drive everybody out of the promised land and you take it over, there's parts of the land that's going to become desolate because you don't have the bandwidth to take care of it.
Right.
And not only do you not have the bandwidth to take care of all of it yet, there's also beasts out there that are going to come and overtake you. Uh-huh. And so I remember preaching this somewhere and saying, hey, you guys talk about 100-soul revival, and you want to see this big revival come. But the question is, if 100 new people, and I say this all the time in the church, if 100 new people walk through the door tomorrow, do we have the systems in place?
Right.
Do we have the processes in place that we can handle 100-soul revival?
Yeah.
Or are we just committing spiritual abortion?
Right.
People walk through the door. They maybe they get baptized. Maybe they repent. Maybe they do these things. But we don't have the ability. We don't have the people to give them a Bible study.
Yeah.
We don't have the people to really teach them and ground them. Yeah. And so they come in, they leave, and then when we reach back out to them, now when I was there, you guys weren't able to do what I needed,
exactly,
right? And so I really think in part of looking at, you know, if we go back to our original question, you look at the tension between what God's promised and and where we are. It's not an overnight thing. It's a process.
Yeah.
And not only is it a process one where we have to work on what we're doing while we allow God to do what he does.
Yeah.
In that process, we have to also not circumvent the will of God and say, this is taking longer than what I want it to take. I need to move off to the side.
Right.
In that process, we have to also understand there's times of sowing and there's times of reaping, and we need to in cyclical nature do both of them. And while all that's going on, what you're talking about here is we have to create systems to make sure that, hey, when someone walks in, they feel welcome. Hey, how you doing? We capture their information to follow up with them. And then in addition to that, we've got to have a way to start grounding those people because after they're grounded, it's no longer, I don't come to church anymore for me.
Yeah.
I come to church, one, to worship God, to get myself in a better place, but because I have a ministry to give back to the church, and I have a ministry to give to somebody else. And so it's this movement from me taking to me giving, and the processes around it. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of All Things Apostolic. Join us next week for part 2 of this discussion.